Hey, Dr. Bill Sinyard here, and this is another gospel rant, and we're talking about discipleship with Pastor Jeff Buster. We've been talking about some of his philosophy on discipleship and what's happened in the past. So welcome, Jeff.
Thank you.
Good to have
me
back. Have you back for a third. Oh, my goodness. You're just going to take over this show pretty soon and might improve it.
Feed me well, and I'll stay forever.
Right. Before we get into spiritual gifts, I mean, I just was listening to two-day conference on how do we best minister to millennials. You just talked about it. They want that kind of relationship.
Absolutely.
They want to be transformed. They want this relationship with God. They want to actually feel that God loves them. That's what almost all the speakers said.
Which, by the way, is not a New Testament thing, right?
Right. Well, this be too.
It's just like you take the most common scripture verse we know, for God so loved the world. I think in our minds we often say, for Jesus so much loved us that he went to the Father in heaven and said, hey, can we love these people? The Father has been pursuing a relationship the whole time. And so we just have to jump on that bandwagon.
We need to do it better. Okay, so let's talk about spiritual gifts, because I know that that's something that you do when you go to a church, is you start identifying gifts. So tell us what's your philosophy and what you've seen.
Spiritual gifts, I'm not convinced that we could, you know, put together the Romans and the Corinthians two lists and come up with our 32 or 36. I think it's a lot more pliable than that.
Yeah.
In general, God's desire is to grow the church. Mm-hmm. Jesus had a great idea when he said the church is going to be the physical representation of the spiritual kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. And then he says, well, how am I going to do that? Well, very similar in sort of the inspiration of Scripture, where we have this very human feel and smell and taste text through divine inspiration. The church is the same thing. God is growing the church from a mustard seed to this wonderful big tree that every bird in the world can land on and feel safe in. And he does that through his people. And the way that he does that through his people is not calling the best of the best, but he says, as he said in Acts 1, he's like, look, I'm coming in the Spirit. And when that Spirit comes, that's when it starts in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest. And that he's really talking about the expanse of the church to the ends of the world. And he starts with, when the Father brings the Spirit. So the spiritual gift is God growing his church through his Spirit, through the hands and feet of his church. And so I try not to get too hung up on a particular language of like what particularly is yours, but rather is the Spirit interacting with his church through you.
Okay.
So right. I'll sort of put that out there as a sort of a foundation of how I approach it.
Okay.
And we talked about in the previous session that when you wear, or two sessions ago, when you wear, when you have so much sin, instead of being cloaked with grace, you're cloaked with this sort of false self of what the culture and your flesh and sort of all mix-mash.
Sketchy.
And you wouldn't expect to see much spirit interaction.
Well, I think we do.
With it there. Yeah. But sometimes we can put the cart before the horse and say, you want to become a good Christian? Get serving. What's your spiritual gift? Tell me what it is. And generally, because we can't smell or see the Spirit there, we will go to talents. Oh, you're a banker.
Yeah.
You're good at money.
Right.
Let's put you in charge of finances.
Right.
Oh, okay. And then the poor person gets burnt out because talents is using up your own strength, your own energy, and the Spirit, when you've done using a spiritual gift, a few things happen. You have uber love for the church. You have leftover residue of energy that the Spirit's left in you, and this kingdom is expanded.
That's what you've told me, is people light up.
They do.
And so they're sitting there in the pews listening, just taking it in. But when they get engaged with their spiritual gift, they become players.
They do. Now, this person will almost crawl into bed because their body is worn out. And Paul says as much, like, I beat up my body, right? In Colossians 2, the filling up what's lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Right. And so, and
it's fatigue.
It's fatigue. But in your spirit, your match flame has, it's like this, you are just burning with this I just call it the leftover residue of the Spirit interacting. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. You think of Moses looking at the cloak of God on mm-hmm. Mount Sinai. Mm-hmm. His face glowing mm-hmm. was the residue of coming next to God. Mm-hmm. And I see that in the eyes of a Christian.
So when you got to the church in Australia, associate pastor, and they said, you know, we want you to grow the church. We want you to be part of the growth and discipling and mentoring. Did you say, okay, we're going to focus on gifts, spiritual gifts?
This
is part of my day-to-day, week-to-week. So board, you can check me on this, but we're going to be identifying and using gifts.
No, I didn't. I started with... look, and the particular question was, we want to do more outreach, and right. and that takes particular gifts. And I said, look, if you want to make disciples on a mass scale, mm-hmm. you got to have to be disciples in your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to identify gifts,
mm-hmm.
you make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And P.S., if you want to be a good evangelist, you just... you think about making disciples, and evangelism is the first step of making disciples. Mm-hmm, right? That's mm-hmm, certainly a very mm-hmm, effective mm-hmm. way of making doing evangelism. But so my goal was to get people confident and comfortable with interacting with God
mm-hmm.
Through the lens of the Scripture
mm-hmm.
with the ears of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And to spiritual gifts is the easiest thing because it's God's activity.
Yep.
It's just a play out. Now, there is, I believe, a particular spiritual gift of discernment.
Yep.
And they're the ones who actually see the movement of God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, it's one of the spiritual gifts that I have
mm-hmm.
To be able to see where a kingdom is expanding in a particular person's heart
okay.
or the church. And
that's how you could go to that man and say, I see you have a... the gift of...
Right, right. And I think that I do have that spiritual gift because when I use it,
mm-hmm.
More often than not, someone says that resonates
mm-hmm.
with what other people have told
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
it very often puts language for the very first time
mm-hmm.
of what they've already been doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then once they have language for it, they feel like they're in the center of God's kingdom, and they feel like they belong, and they feel like, wow, this is exciting and energizing, and they're like, oh, discernment. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'd bring some counsel. Like, now, there's some dangers to this particular gift.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You're going to sort of overlap and into your talent, mm-hmm. or you're going to sometimes own it as yourself, mm-hmm. or this mm-hmm. is the emotions mm-hmm. you could bring up. So...
So you don't do a specific, I mean, there's spiritual gift tests out there. Do you dabble with those things or do you just keep working with the person until it becomes obvious? And look, you go, let's try it.
I have three tests.
You do?
I do. And the first test is, I'm sort of saying the same thing over and over, but the first test is when you do this,
mm-hmm.
does the kingdom expand or do you expand?
Okay, yeah, that's a great test.
Right? So when you walk, when some people, mm-hmm. The most demoralizing thing for me after I preach is people come up, you know, it's been like 30 minutes or 40, okay, well, honestly,
yeah,
45
like 40
minutes,
minutes. Yeah,
40
yeah,
minutes,
yeah, yeah.
And someone comes up and says, you have a great accent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, so
yeah.
The Spirit was not obviously working here because there's 20 million
yeah.
people plus who have Australian accents, so
right.
That's,
right.
That's not me. So the kingdom is expanded when people walk up and they almost forget that you exist.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
Should be the worst thing for the pastor, and it is the worst thing for the pastor seeking security in what they
sure.
do, right?
Sure.
But they say, I have never thought about Christ or that way, or
mm-hmm.
I think God's telling me this
mm-hmm.
and you are completely in the background
mm-hmm.
and that's
I agree
the person who serves in the
mm-hmm.
church and has a spiritual gift of serving
mm-hmm.
they look around and people are interacting with one another on a wonderful, safe
mm-hmm.
and spirit-filled basis
mm-hmm.
because they feel that they have been taken care of
mm-hmm.
and this is a place where their needs are met.
Yeah, yeah.
And so...
They feel it. I get
so
it.
So, first
all,
one,
yeah,
does the kingdom
that.
Expand?
Okay.
The second one is, and I get this from a study that my wife did, which was just a mm-hmm. it was kind of a light bulb moment for me. You know that 1 Corinthians 13, you know the one that we put in all the weddings and everything?
Yeah.
It absolutely beautiful. Love is patient, love mm-hmm. is kind. Mm-hmm. Did you know that is sandwiched between mm-hmm. a spiritual gift conversation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Why would Paul put mm-hmm. the epitome of love mm-hmm. in between a spiritual gift conversation? Because, and Aubrey's point is, the effects, mm-hmm. the Christian effect of using a spiritual gift is an utter, utter love mm-hmm. for your fellow Christian in the exact same way that God loves us. Why? Because when the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit mm-hmm. is interacting through you,
yeah,
you are starting to see people how God sees people.
Yeah.
Wow, that is an ugly but most beautiful person mm-hmm. I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. That's annoying, but mm-hmm. there's so much potential.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, and so do yeah, they finish that. Loving? When mm-hmm. someone gets done and they have bitterness towards people they're serving, mm-hmm. they're even not doing the Spirit, or they're in the wrong place.
Right. Right. So, all right. So the kingdom's expanded. Test number one. Test number two is the people you're serving or working with feel loved.
You feel loved.
You feel loved.
For them. Yes, they will feel loved as well.
Okay.
But you feel loved with them. Okay. And I think that's what Paul's getting at in 1 Corinthians 13. Like, let's do a love check okay. in between your speaking in tongues and mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. your mm-hmm. exhortation and mm-hmm. so forth. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, look, I will exhort someone, sort of proclaim to them.
Mm-hmm.
Not always in a negative way, but some, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. after doing it, I don't like them.
Yep.
Which means that I sort of knew, I knew what I did mm-hmm. in the past with yep. that particular gift, and I just mirrored it.
Yeah.
And I sort of get into a rut.
Yep.
Rather than saying, how do you want to adjust it this time around?
Yeah. No power.
Yeah. Lack yeah. power. Yeah. And the third one is, look, if 50 people say that you're pretty good at this and you should keep doing it, then note to self.
Hmm.
Right? Because God has built the church to grow in community.
Yep.
And we need to listen to community, both for interpretation.
Yep.
Both for areas where if 10 people around you say that mm-hmm. you're too opinionated, well, mm-hmm. take a hint, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
Now, if one person and it happens to be your nemesis in life, then, right. But so if so for me, particularly, and you just said it again just a few days ago, and that is, Jeff, look, I love your preaching.
Yep.
But I think that there's more power rock, in discipleship.
Oh, man, this is where you rock.
And like every pastor sort of wants to be the great preacher, right? Because it's mm-hmm. more of a public role.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the pastor at the church I was just serving at, they said the same thing. And mm-hmm. and everyone I'm around says the same thing, which mm-hmm. tells me, it's like, okay, whether or not I have a spiritual gift for preaching, I don't mm-hmm. know. What I do know
mm-hmm.
is whenever I sit down and talk with someone about their spiritual life, they generally walk away thinking, I need to consider me and God more.
Yep.
And I think that God really likes me.
Yeah, I think in the long run, your legacy at that church and near Sydney is going to be what you did with these people one-on-one, one-on-two.
Right, right, right.
And that's what's going to, multiply that church. I mean, because you're not there preaching anymore.
No, I'm not. I'm not there preaching. And hopefully the effects of discipleship. Now, I should put a quick note in here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty freely talking about areas that I think I'm gifted in.
Mm-hmm.
And it can catch people off guard. And it should catch you off guard if you confuse a spiritual gift with a talent.
Explain. Yeah, I get it.
If I say, hey, so Bill, mm-hmm. I want to tell you about three mm-hmm. talents that I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can snap my fingers louder than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, all right, so this guy, it's not impressive, mm-hmm. but if you have a correct view of spiritual
mm-hmm.
gifts, if the Spirit decided to leave me tomorrow, which he promised he would never do, by the way,
right?
It would be completely taken away from me.
Yeah.
There is no boasting ground. Absolutely no boasting ground. Which means that you should be confident to say, hey,
mm-hmm.
God uses me in this
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
He might change it tomorrow, mm-hmm. but it's just not me. Mm-hmm. So the stronger theology you have
mm-hmm.
of it,
mm-hmm.
the more confident you are to say, yeah, that's actually an area that I'd be happy to deal with. Mm-hmm. I've seen that it's effective. But the more that you coincide it with talents or characteristics, the more you feel uncomfortable hearing people talk about it, and you will feel uncomfortable talking about yourself.
And they don't necessarily sync.
Yeah, I love how much God syncs up how he made us with what he asks us to do. Right. Very often
it
is.
But then there's strength and weakness.
But there is strength and weakness, right?
My strength and your weakness, there's a pattern there too.
Right. I had a speech impediment as a kid. Mm. I mix up my words. I tell the end of the jokes before I start them.
I noticed that.
I am not the smoothest rhetorician.
You don't have the spiritual gift of stand-up comedy.
I do not. No. And but ironically, it's through speech that God has asked to use a spiritual gift. Yeah. I can't spell worth beans. Mm-hmm. But people aren't looking for good spellers.
Mm-hmm. No.
Right? It's just... it is.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, we're about the end. Oh, we are at the end. So once again, thanks, Jeff, for playing. And listen, if you're listening to this and you like what you're hearing, give us some feedback. Give us some questions, and maybe we'll produce a few more of these on other topics. Hey, Jeff, thanks for telling us about discipleship. And I think you're right. I think there needs to be a new wave of how we do that. That was very spirit focused, and I think that's what you and I both agree. That's where we have to go. So thank you, Jeff.
I can stay as your son-in-law then. I passed the test.
You can stay. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't want my daughter back. I love her, but you have her.
She's my daughter.
God bless you.
Yeah.
God
well, you're not getting those three camels back. So hey, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for listening. Take heart, child of God.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.